This is Rick Telberg, and this is a CPA Trendlines podcast.
Hi, I'm Liz Gold with CPA Trendlines, and today's guest is Zach Gordon. Zach works primarily in the real estate and cannabis practices at Jennifer LLC in New York, focusing on family office financial statement compilations and reviews, tax planning and related services, as well as cannabis-focused services such as deal and business structuring, 280E tax planning and optimization, and license application due diligence. He has extensive experience in private equity in the tech startup space, as well as public accounting with a focus on real estate, cannabis, not-for-profits, and tech. These startups range from early stage to greater than $20 million in annual revenue. He has served as controller, auditor, and director of finance and operations for several startups, and serves as an advisor for a cannabis-focused technology incubator. He is a stakeholder in several cannabis and non-cannabis companies across multiple verticals, including technology, human resources, and consumer product goods. Zach is a member of the American Institute of CPAs and the New York State Society of CPAs. He sits on the Technology Assurance Committee and is the chair of the Cannabis Industry Committee, the New York State Society of CPAs. So welcome to the show, Zach. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start with your role at Jennifer. You're a senior manager and you joined the firm less than a year ago. What prompted you to go into public accounting?
Well, I actually started in public accounting about 11 years ago. So did about 5 years, got to the point where I could either stick around for the long term or try something different. So I ended up actually heading into private equity. So I did the finance side for a couple of years. And while I was there, I really got into the tech space. While I was in the tech space, that really sort of opened up my eyes a little bit. I had my own company for a little while, and that allowed me to really open up my network and indirectly how I got into the cannabis space, actually. And through my journeys there, I actually reconnected with an old coworker friend of mine who had actually started the cannabis practice here at Janover. And, you know, we were sitting down just talking and realized that it did make sense for us to join forces and tackle this together. So it was sort of like coming home, believe it or not.
So were you working for a big four firm at the time, or were you in private when you talked to the person at Jennifer, your friend?
I was actually in private. I had my own company at that point.
Oh, okay. And so what kind of convincing did it take you to leave your own company and to go work for a firm?
Well, honestly, they were actually very accommodating. believe it or not. It was actually pretty great. So they knew that I certainly had other things going on, and they were more than willing to work around that while all the affairs got into order. So certain transactional things I was working on came to their natural head. And This was just a great opportunity to help grow a practice here and work with some people that I really enjoyed being around.
So what was the state of the cannabis practice at Jennifer, and what were you being brought in to do?
So they had a couple of good clients here, probably about a half dozen or so very strong clients. It was on the upswing there, but we realized that between myself and Jason, who co-manages the practice with me, along with some of the other resources in the firm, we could really just move the practice forward significantly together, much easier than we could two separate entities.
Mm-hmm. And so did you have some priorities to start out with, to sort of kick it off?
Without a doubt. So first and foremost was getting some content together. So myself and Jason, we come at the industry from different angles. So he's great on the research end and specifically on the tax side. I haven't seen as strong a tax person in the cannabis industry as him. So he is fantastic on that side. And I'm honestly much more comfortable on the business side, between the structuring, between just getting operations together, on the compliance side. Actually, you know, getting the business up and running.
Got it.
So together, you know, filling in the gaps for each other, it's a pretty good working team.
So what is Jason's last name, just so we know we have it?
Of course, Hoffman.
Okay. And so you two are sort of, you're the practice leaders for the cannabis group?
Correct. Okay. So we're the practice leaders. We work with Marsha Elowitz, who's one of the partners in the firm. So she's really, as a mentor figure and really helping to guide us along as we grow the practice within the firm. And we've also brought in some staff, brought in the seniors to help us run the engagements, do some of the grunt work, of course. Mm-hmm. But, we've tailored our training, our CPE in-house to make sure that anyone who's going to work on any cannabis engagements is fully involved in the industry.
Mm-hmm. And the firm, it sounds like, was behind building out this practice, right? I mean, you, I guess you have to be if they're bringing.
They could have not been more enthusiastic. I'll be honest, it was really refreshing. It's part of how I knew this was the right direction. There was absolutely no hesitation on their side that this was the way to go. They're certainly looking to the future that, you know, CPAs will have to service the industry. So let's get ahead of the game. Let's see, you know, how much good we can do for the industry as advisors, as CPAs. And you know what? It turned out pretty well so far.
And so as a CPA, did you have any reservations about working in this industry, or were you just sort of like, let's go for it? I'm ready.
Oh, I thought it was great. Of course, I spoke to as many people as I could before, you know, making it public that I was getting into the industry, you know, between the State Society, the AICPA, and at that point. So that was, you know, looking at 2014, 2015, there was minimal guidance, if any, as to how to properly approach the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, the ultimate guidance I got, and I think this was really good advice, as long as the client is operating legally, to this point, there's no precedent for, you know, any government action or any regulatory action against you. So I was, it gave me as much possible comfort as I could have at the time.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I hear that across the board. Just making sure clients are legal and want to stay in compliance are probably the most important things you can do before taking them on. So before we get into the New York State Society, which I want to talk about, you know, can you give us sort of a snapshot of your firm's cannabis practice? You know, who are your clients? Are they across the sector? Are they, you know, are they growers? Are they distributors? Are they dispensary owners? Are they labs? Who are they? You know, where are they in their business cycle? And, you know, what are sort of the biggest issues that they're facing right now?
So the answer is across the board. So,
yeah.
You know, we have everything from dispensaries to grows, to brands, to beverages, technology infrastructure, you know, touching the plant, not touching the plant. So at this point, we've seen it all between myself, Jason, and the rest of the team. We've actually, as a team, done a very good job of bringing in a wide array of clients just to, one, keep life interesting because, you know, why we want life to get boring. And, and two, it's allowed us to really just expand our knowledge base. And this is one of those industries where there is no, there's no set path. There's no, it's not like, you know, real estate, for example, where, you know, you're looking to produce financial statements. It's, you know, it's A, B, C, D, and, you know, there you go. It's significantly more complicated. The level of guidance out there is just non-existent. So if you're talking about challenges from our side, that's one of the big ones. From the client perspective, banking is a significant, you know, just as significant of an issue as you can possibly imagine. Not to get too much into the details, but, you know, FDIC insured banks are not servicing the industry. So unless you want to operate completely in cash, you do have to get a bit creative as to how you're going to properly bank. And so that's done by, you know, we are fortunate to have strong relationships with some community-owned banks. They're not FDIC insured, or credit unions, you know, just depending on the jurisdiction. So that's one of the first conversations we always have with our clients. Beyond that, honestly, it's just guiding them along the process. Every state's a little different. Every part of the industry is a little different. So that's certainly what's interesting from our side, but also a challenge for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, how are you keeping up with sort of all of the regulations that are updated constantly? Because, you know, states change their laws, you know, and how do you keep up with that, the nuances?
I don't sleep much.
Fair.
No, there's obviously, there's a lot of reading going on. I mean, I subscribe to every resource you could possibly imagine. And honestly, it's just, it's on us as professionals to make sure that we're as up to date as possible with all the legislation out there, all the potential legislation. And it's a matter of having a good network as well. So, we certainly do our best to play nice with professionals in other states, whether it's other CPAs, attorneys, finance professionals, certain business owners, politicians. That's a big part of it as well. So it is a community, and it's a growing community, but it's not that big at the moment, where as long as you have a good reputation, that will carry you a long, long way, especially from a knowledge-based standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear that often. You know, if one client or cannabis business owner really likes what you're doing, they'll spread it to their people, and then there you go. There's a bunch of different leads for you.
100%. And actually, yeah. We've gotten quite a few referrals just because, you know, we're this is going to sound funny, but we're competent CPAs. We're competent professionals. We've been successful in other industries, and that allows us to bring that to this industry as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the New York State Society. Let's talk about that. It's a mouthful, but unforgettable. So obviously, you know, there's the Cannabis Industry Committee, which I have to say I was pretty impressed by. And there was a conference that you all had, I think it was last year, and you're gearing up for another conference this year.
Number 6 at Baruch College, if we're making plugs.
Okay, yeah, we are definitely making plugs. So tell me about how you became the chair of the Cannabis Industry Committee and what you guys are doing.
Of course. So in 2017, I believe around April or so right after that busy season was done, I had been in the industry for a couple of years at that point, and just basically going back to my roots, looking at the State Society to see, what guidance was available, calling back to earlier. And there really wasn't anything beyond the one symposium that they had held, actually. So in 2016, they did put together the Marijuana Symposium. It had some professionals, some politicians speaking to their experiences and what they had seen so far and, speculating on the future. But I reached out to some of the members and some of the staff at the State Society, and they said it had been floated around, but no one had ever actually, taken a leadership role in trying to push it forward. So it took about 6 months of meetings and calls and due diligence and everything else to get it together. But finally, in November 17, we were able to officially launch the committee. And that was our first meeting was held. Attendance was very strong, actually, and it continues to be pretty strong to this day. So I believe, I haven't checked the roster as of today, but there's at least 70 on the committee. Not everyone's active, of course, but it's a very strongly attended committee.
And so it's made up of different firms, correct, who are working in the cannabis space. So would some of them be your competitors?
In the simplest term, yes.
Right.
However, honestly, on one hand, there's more than enough clients to go around.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't even want to think about it that way, because we do want this to be a collaborative environment, and there is no, there's no perfect road ahead. So we do all have to work on this together, and that's the type of environment we've tried to create. And honestly, for the first for the first cycle or so of the committee, it was a lot of me talking, to be honest, just trying to educate as much as possible, to try to find the right people on the committee to help push it forward. But I think culminating in the conference we had last year, it really has come such a long way.
And so what are some of the top sort of initiatives, or issues you're focused on as a committee? It sounds like you had to do a lot of organizing to get people there and to sort of formulate this committee. And now that you're doing it, obviously you have an event coming up, but what are some of the major things you're tackling?
First and foremost, the biggest goal is education.
Okay.
So making sure professionals that are servicing the industry or are interested, and that's not just CPAs, but that applies to attorneys, business owners, anyone in and around the industry, just to make sure they're running their business the right way And so that's from a taxation standpoint. So we've done seminars on 280E, for example, and going forward, just, you know, honestly, owning and operating a business within the industry and all the nuances that come with it. So if we can make sure that, you know, those in the committee and those around us are properly educated, that goes a long way. And from there, we can educate our clients. We can help to educate the public. And if we can possibly lend a helping hand to New York specifically, as the program here potentially advances, then, you know, I would say that we were very successful.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And so can you give us a little teaser of what's going to come in your next conference, which I believe is in November? You know, anything that you can share about the programming or speakers?
Absolutely. So last year was really an intro to the industry. And this year we want to take it a step further. What are the challenges that our clients are having? So I did mention before banking. So we'll have actual business owners who've been successful, those who've been challenged for sure, give some of their experiences, and of course us, you know, us professionals as well, we'll give our experiences as to really some of the issues that have come up. So whether it's banking, whether it's on the regulatory side, and everything in between.
Got it. So anybody listening who's interested in that, how can they find out more about that conference?
Of course, they can go to the State Society website, so nysscpa.org/FAE cannabis.
Okay, got it.
And so, I believe you can just search FAE cannabis and it should go right there as well.
Okay, great. So check out the New York State Society's website. There's definitely a page on the Cannabis Industry Committee, and I'm sure more information is going to be coming down the pike as it gets closer. I mean, we're not that far out, actually, but...
Don't remind me.
November is not that far. So so at this point, I mean, you know, what is the stance that the AICPA has taken on cannabis? You know, I feel like it's just been really minimal guidance. And, you know, have they released anything else? You know, have you been interacting with them sort of as the chair of the NYCPA, committee?
To this point, so it's certainly evolved, without a doubt, from when we first started this journey. So it started with, in essence, a non-answer, which is perfectly understandable, to be honest. This is certainly still a delicate topic. So from where we sit, I completely understand not having a concrete answer. And they have done some seminars. They have done some... certainly some exploratory work, and the AICPA has come a long way. However, you know, there's been letters sent out, there's been communications for sure, but there's still a lot more work for them to do. The guidance right now at their level is certainly not where it should be, and certainly not where I'd envision it being a few years from now. So I would definitely take a positive stance as to the direction they're going, but it will absolutely take some time.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that makes sense. And it makes sense that the states, you know, need to step up and, you know, gather their resources and figure out the best way to move forward in the industry. Do you know of any other states who are, or state societies that are doing what you're doing?
I actually was just going to bring up that point. So beating me to it.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. So I've actually spoken to New Jersey, Massachusetts, Arizona, Nevada. There's quite a few states that are heading down this road.
Okay, good. Well, that's promising. And what would you say about the state of New York, you know, and the rec market and the medical market? I mean, and obviously we're recording this August 7th, 2019, and we know that things change very rapidly in this profession, but where are they? Like, where's New York, and how do you see it sort of moving forward?
So as of today, New York is exactly where it was quite a few, you know, years back. They have decriminalized, which is certainly a step forward. It's a baby step, but it is a step forward. So you know, it's now a ticket instead of, a major, major life issue if you're caught with possession below a certain standard. The future ultimately will be adult use. The timeline, that is certainly grounds for speculation without a doubt. And even if hypothetically it were to be passed tomorrow, you're still looking at another 12 to 18 months before there's any sort of mobilization of what an actual market within New York would look like. Realistically, they will look at it again next session. Hopefully they do, and hopefully they take it seriously. And I think at this point, public sentiment and frankly, the economics of the market will most likely push them in that direction. And certainly with programs moving forward in more or less all the states in the Northeast, between Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Vermont, Connecticut, Massachusetts, et cetera, all having, Maine, of course, all having varying degrees of markets, New York does not want to be left behind completely.
Mm-hmm.
So New York City alone is, depending on which survey you believe, the largest consumer of cannabis in the world as a city.
Wow.
So, yeah. More or less every economic survey points in that direction. So last year, I believe it was Scott Stringer, who's a New York City comptroller, actually did a study and said that the New York market was about $3 billion or so gross, which is not a bad number. And just in my personal opinion, I think it's on the low side. I think, you know, there's some surveys out there that say New York City alone is about $4 billion a year in gross consumption. And, you know, you can almost double that for the total state.
Wow.
But that's a fully mature market. That's, you know, years and years away.
Right.
But I guess to summarize, the just like with many, many other industries, the economic firepower of New York is incredible. So there will certainly be so many different groups trying to move the programs forward here. Eventually, there will be a mature market. There will be adult use. In the meantime, medical will continue to expand. I fully believe that they will expand the medical market so that it's an easier process. Mm-hmm. I think right now there's certainly some pushback. If you're a patient trying to apply, it's not the easiest process in the world. And, I would certainly hope that they make that process easier. But ultimately, yes, it's moving forward.
Okay. Well, that was a great explanation. And, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens because it is New York and it's like, come on, like, you know, let's do it.
And that's everyone's reaction. No, everyone's the headlines. Everyone gets very excited. And
yeah.
I think Governor Cuomo took a novel approach in trying to include it in his budget for the 2019 fiscal year. That was his way of trying to, mm-hmm. you know, kick the rest of the politicians in the fanny and to get them to take this as a serious issue. He included it in the budget, all the tax revenues of what a mature market would look like. He already spent the money, in essence.
mm-hmm.
So, you know, just to try to show the economic impact of what a mature market would look like in New York. And unfortunately, this time around, that strategy didn't work, but it did get it to the forefront of the policy discussions. And one would hope that that would make it easier the next time around.
Wow. Amazing stuff. And so, I mean, for you, what's the most interesting thing about being in cannabis? Like, is there anything you're surprised by or shocked by or, you know, where you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is my job every single day?
We like to say around here, if you're not having fun in the cannabis industry, you're not doing your job right. Like, mm-hmm. There's so many cool aspects to this industry. I think certainly it takes some time to explain to family members and friends what I actually do.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a challenge. Like, oh, wait, so you work in cannabis? Well, hold on. That as a
right.
CPA, you know, there's certainly a stigma that still exists. And that's part of education. And that's really going to take some time as well. But public sentiment seems to be moving in the right direction. Honestly, this is a lot of fun. It is really cool to be a part of an industry that's growing like this, that has so many new and different and interesting businesses and people. I mean, I really can't complain. And there's just so few opportunities now to really, from an intellectual standpoint, from a professional standpoint, to be able to expand your horizons like this with a completely new industry.
That's growing very fast. So
exactly.
So any advice for CPAs and accountants who want to get into cannabis?
Do your homework.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good resources out there. Attend as many conferences and meetings as you can. They're literally everywhere now. There's hundreds and hundreds of events you can attend. So, even if it costs you a couple bucks, it's certainly worth the time. On the other side of it, if you are looking to take in clients, make sure you do your due diligence. You cannot be careful enough when trying to take on a client. Between the reputational risk, between possible consequences from taking on the wrong client, you really need to be careful. Do your homework. One, make sure that you, as a professional, have an understanding of the services you would be providing. While financial statements, are what they are, there are still so many nuances with this industry that if you don't know what you're doing, you can certainly get yourself and your client in trouble. With the clients themselves, while the while the client base is certainly evolving into professionals that were successful in other industries, there's still plenty of unique characters out there. And you just make sure you know who you're working with, ultimately.
Right. Do your research. Come up with a vetting process. Be careful. But also, don't be scared. It's a lucrative.
Exactly.
It's a lucrative niche. And people need really talented CPAs in order to be successful. So,
and there's no question there's a shortage on CPAs, on quality professionals within the industry.
Right.
There's, as I said before, there's more than enough work to go around, and the biggest players in the space don't yet exist. We haven't seen how far this industry will go. And that's part of the exciting part.
Wow, really cool. Well, thank you so much, Zach, for being here. I appreciate it. I'm Liz Gold with CPA Trendlines, and until next time.